people, as you can see, they are calling and every line is lit. So we'll be right back after this. You know, this is my pick of the week, this Cheb Mami gentleman here, who I believe is originally from Algeria, from the compact disc Delali, and Javel Fai. I think you should rest assured in knowing I will leave the compact disc for you so that when you return here this afternoon, you hard-working man you, it will be here for you. You can rest assured of that. Okay, I have been told this by Paul Williams, by the way, who is now my audio engineer in this segment of the program. And also I had been told by Michael G. Haskins, yes, it will be here, because this is really very fine music. It's my pick of the week. I really can't take any credit for this because, of course, I got this from Mark Leosa last week. And it's really fine music. It's available on the, it looks like Mondo Melodia or Melodia. It's M-E-L-O-D-I-A label. I'm not sure about the pronunciation. It could be Melodia. It could be Melodia. But it's Chub Mammy. The compact disc is titled Delali. Also, another bit of housekeeping before we get back to your calls at 212-209-2900. I did indicate to you that if you're interested in finding out where and when a board meeting of the Pacifica Interim Board will be convened this weekend, you should call our switchboard at 212-209-2800 and they will give you the latest information that we have. And should a definitive announcement be made any time before the end of this program, I will try to convey that to you as soon as possible. You can rest assured of this. Because I do know that there is a significant reservoir of legitimate concern and interest in this particular bit of information. This is WBAI. We are 99.5 FM in New York, and I am Hugh Hamilton. Now, the program is Talk Back. We are a gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas. Also heard on the World Wide Web at www.wbai.org. And we are taking your calls this afternoon, today being Throwdown Thursday. It's the day when you get to define what you want to talk about within reason. And we take your calls at 212-209-2900, all the lines of which are currently lit. So let's go immediately now to you are on the air right now, and you're up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Hugh Hamilton.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Anthony Sloan. I am calling you from Manhattan, the historic firehouse on Lafayette Street, where Democracy Now! Broadcasts from.
Good afternoon, Mr. Sloan. How do you do?
I don't think we've met.
But huh? I've heard you. I don't think we've met, but I've heard your name. Good afternoon.
Well, we met in passing a while ago when you first came to the station.
I see.
You were put on the air, but you know you would hardly notice me because usually I try to stay in the background and be ever so helpful. In fact, I'm trying to help right about now. I'm talking to you in the guise of senior producer at WBAI, and that is that it's always been a tradition, especially since you took the music break. If there's information that that the listeners are hungering for, I just merely go and get that information and pass it on to them. It's a lot simpler than continuing to, try to dissuade the listeners, you know.
Okay.
Talking about the board meeting, actually.
Okay, about the board meeting. Well, yeah. Mr. Sloan, I'm sure that it has been a tradition that this is the case. Here's the new tradition that I have established on this program as producer and host. It is this. When I have definitive information on any given issue about which listeners are hungering, then I will convey that. In the meantime, though, listeners also have the option of calling our switchboard at 212-209-2800 for the latest information there. My reasoning for this is as follows. I am on the air. I am not getting the minute-to-minute information. And therefore, should I say something at 9 minutes after four, and that information should change at 29 minutes after four, then I would be doing nothing else but conveying that information to individuals from time to time during the course of the broadcast. What I have said, and this remains the case, is for information on the location and time of the board meeting, you call the switchboard. If there is a final bit of information that I can convey to you before the end of the broadcast, I will do so. And during the course of our broadcast day, we are, of course, on 24/7. As the information becomes available, it will be made available to you in various public service announcements that will be conveyed at convenient times of the broadcast day. But I want to thank you very much, and I'm very happy that you're listening, Mr. Sloan. Thank you very much for the call. It's 10 minutes now after 4 o'clock. Good afternoon. Talk back. And I'm Hugh Hamilton. You are on the air. Hello.
I thank you, Mr. Hamilton, for allowing me to have this opportunity to speak to you. I know you're healthy and well. I have to move away from the radio because I'm in a wheelchair and I can't get to where the radio was.
Okay. To whom are we speaking, ma'am?
Okay. My name is Shira. I live in Brooklyn.
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to run off a whole bunch of things right off the bat. Semites, incidentally, are not Jews, for the record, because the Semites, who are really those who were in the surrounding Mediterranean area, like the Bedouins and Scythians and Turkish people, all those people in the area, those are Semites. The Zionist has spread the myth, and I say myth, that the Jews are Semitic. They are not, because to say that the Jews are Semitic automatically implies that they are a race, and they are not a race. There are now Israelites who live in this fabricated country called Israel, but there are no Jewish Semites. It's a myth. Number two, anybody who speaks against communism or what the government is doing, or they speak about against the Zionists, immediately the Zionists call them anti-Semitic. They love that term. They love to use it. Number three, the Talmud. I have in my possession the original translation that was prepared way back in the time of the Pharisees, which go way back to the Babylonian tablet time. And this Talmud, it wasn't known as the Talmud, incidentally, until the 5th century A.D. At that time, it was called Teachings for the and Instructions for the Elders of Zion and the Rabbis. And it was later changed to the Talmud.
Shira?
Yes.
Okay. Now, here's the thing about that. I did say that we are going to take calls on whatever you want to discuss within reason. Now, we have two problems here. First of all, you are delving into an area I don't have this document that you have in front of you.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. I don't have it. I have never seen it. I have never read it. I cannot comment on its authenticity or lack thereof. Okay? And you did speak refer on several occasions to Zionists and so forth.
Right.
And guess what?
What?
I think you've said what you've had to say.
No,
hold on. Shira,
yeah.
You've said what you've had to say. And I am going to say this. I am not going to be drawn into that level of discussion or debate because I do not believe that it achieves anything meaningful for any of us. And all it does is that it sets the stage for a degree of very passionate outrage on all sides,
yes,
of these issues.
Yes.
And
what they're doing in Africa.
And I don't know who you mean by they, but I don't have the patience for it this afternoon. Not this afternoon.
Okay.
So no, I'm not going to tell you anything further. No, that's quite all right. Let's leave it.
Is it possible for me to have a discussion with you privately off the record here?
No. I generally discourage any private discussions with callers, because that's not the nature of our relationship. I'm doing a radio program, and you're listening, and that's great, and I'm very happy that you are. You call when the telephone lines are open. You make your contribution. I comment if I choose to do so, and that's the nature of the relationship that we have. It doesn't go beyond that. It is 14 minutes after 4 o'clock. Good afternoon, Talk Back, and I'm Hugh Hamilton. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
This is Dennis from the Pacifica Campaign.
Good afternoon, Dennis from the Pacifica Campaign.
And I have the up-to-the-minute information that you mentioned you don't have access to.
Okay, now, Dennis, let me ask you this.
Okay, if I could just...
No, you can't. Let me ask you this, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Have we met?
No, we haven't.
Do I know you?
I don't believe
Am I in a position, Dennis, to authenticate any information that you are going to provide on these airwaves?
Well, as much as any other caller, an 800 line.
Oh, okay, fine. Except that guess what? I have said that anyone, if you have information that is up to the minute, then you should leave it with our receptionist. The receptionist, in turn, will convey that to the powers that be here, and they will verify this information. I have absolutely no way of verifying.
Well, let's move on then to a discussion.
Mano a mano
about issues.
Mano a mano. We're going hand to hand on issues. Let me hear your
will. And so I'd like to discuss why Democracy Now! Is not on the air. WBAI.
Dennis?
You know as
have
well
you
as
ever,
I do that the
Dennis,
board has directed...
Dennis?
Yes,
Dennis,
sir?
Have you ever listened to this program?
I
have been host? Painfully so.
Yes.
Okay.
Frequently. We don't miss a day.
Wonderful.
At the Pacifica campaign office because you are kind of the bellwether of the Christmas coup.
Okay.
We listen to you to find out...
Okay, well, let me say this to you, Dennis. If you have listened before, you would know that there is no way that I am going to entertain a discussion on these airwaves during this program of the internal politics of Pacifica, its personnel or managerial management or policy decisions and changings. I will not do that.
I have taken this position. Hold on.
No.
Hold
you
on
hold
on. This is Anthony Sloan. Why did you hang up on me for?
Hold a second. Now, I thought that I was talking with Dennis from the Pacifica campaign. Then now I'm being joined at the same time by Anthony Sloan, who called me earlier. I beg your pardon?
This is the wonders of conference calling through modern technology, which I'm not sure has made it to WBAI yet under the coup regime. We could actually conference in, and I heard my brother in struggle, Anthony Sloan, cut off, and so I immediately conferenced in. And so Anthony, I understand, has a cell phone now, despite the fact that he was not paid for 5 months from the... without cause, having been fired without cause from WBAI.
Okay, let me ask both of you one question. Did you hear anything that I've said so far? Yes or no?
I've heard every word you've said.
Well, thank you very much. In which case, I have made myself as completely clear as I have made myself clear. I am not going to pollute these airwaves with a discussion of internal Pacifica policies, personnel or otherwise. I am not going to do it. There has to be a forum for that, and you will avail yourself of the appropriate forum in order to do so. Nor would I allow myself to be railroaded by anyone on any side of this issue. That is simply not my style. It is 18 minutes after 4 o'clock. Good afternoon, Talk Back, and you are on the air. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, Mr. Hamilton.
Yes.
This is Yuri from Manhattan.
Good afternoon, Yuri.
Actually, yesterday you were talking about residential segregation in Yonkers.
Yes.
And, I unfortunately didn't hear the whole program, but I just wanted to say that, as far as I know, that this is a phenomenon that exists all over the United States, this residential segregation. And I spent 2 years in Buffalo, and I think that was one of the places I saw it most pronounced. One incident that happened was there's a mall called Walden Galleria Mall whose main clientele were from the suburbs, and I think it might be Cheektowaga was the name of the suburb. However, many people from the city proper of Buffalo, mainly lower income people, would go to the mall to work. And when they planned the mall, they didn't allow the bus to stop in front of the mall. And as a result, one girl there was run over by a dump truck while going to work because she had to cross like a four-lane highway in order to get to her job. So that was just one example of, I think, residential segregation. But I believe the problem really stems in the way that the United States was planned, and that it's, I believe it was in their full intent to have neighborhoods segregated, especially the...
When you say there, to whom are you referring?
Planners.
Oh, okay.
Planners who planned out post-World War II America, really... The whole idea, yeah, Robert Moses, for example, the whole idea of white flight, when you've had people from the city who leave the city and go to suburbia, which I believe is a very big problem, because in a way I kind of see this when all these people from suburbia now come into the city to work. In a way it's kind of parasitic. They don't contribute back to New York City. They take the high-paying jobs and contribute to suburban tax bases. And it's not only New York City. I mean, the same thing exists in Buffalo. I think many suburbs that are kind of out of a industrial city or a city, these people take the pay that they get into higher-paying jobs because they have the better schools, et cetera, and then their paychecks go back to contribute to their tax base, which is very wasteful. You have, you know, many suburbs with different mayors, different police forces. I think it's wasteful. I think that it was planned out, and I don't think residential segregation would be a problem if, when segregation is often talked about as separate but equal, I believe if residential segregation was done separate but equal, i.e., the inner city or the city proper has schools that are at the same caliber as suburban schools, they are serviced at the same caliber as suburban enclaves, I don't believe it'd be so much of a problem. But I believe the main problem exists in this blatant inequity between the way cities are managed as opposed to suburbs, and the way that really people from suburbs tend to just take from the city without really contributing back.
Well, you know, there are a couple of things. First of all, you said that the planners created intentionally this system of segregated housing,
yes. Well,
residential segregation. Well, the truth of the matter is that America has always been a de facto segregated country throughout its evolution as a country, because the very nature of American society, the very foundations upon which our country rests. Those foundations were created on the basis of a separation, not only of races, but also of genders and so forth. So that in the context of post-World War II, remember the planners at that time were operating within the context of a public policy that explicitly they not only tolerated but mandated a segregation of the races in this country, so that we actually had black soldiers who were returning from fighting a war for freedom and against Nazism and so forth in Europe, returning to a country where they could not be served at the same locations as whites were.
Right.
On the matter of separate but equal, on the matter of parity, that I think is an issue that we have not sufficiently explored, and I'll tell you why. Because in my view, now, the issue of separate but equal was overturned, at least philosophically, in Brown against Board of Education. It was a de facto overturning of Plessy against Ferguson, which had upheld in 1896, I believe, the separate but equal doctrine. Brown against Board of Education in 1954 essentially said, look, separate but equal is a myth, because by definition you cannot have parity when you have an enforced segregation on the basis of race. So, as was evidenced in this particular instance of Brown, as was evidenced in the quality of education being delivered to students, black and white, in different communities. But at the same time, the disparity in the delivery of public services, whether it's in education or sanitation or the quality of roads or any other public service, that disparity is something that is intimately linked to the historical disparity, segregation of housing patterns in America. It is a fact of life that white people live among white people and black people live among black people, and as a matter of fact, as recently as in the early 90s, I think it was, that Professor Andrew Hacker did his book, to which I have referred before. It's got a long name. But
I believe it's Two Nations, One Black
Woman. Yes, exactly.
Which relates back to the Kerner Report when, in 1968, I believe, when Johns had done the Kerner Report, they had also talked about America is heading towards two nations, one black and very poor and one white and very affluent. I don't know if that's exactly what it says, but it's kind of towards that, I guess, in that sense that it was the Kerner Report was kind of hinting at.
Yes, that's right. And what Andrew Hacker was pointing out and what I believe is still demographically accurate today is that we do live in two separate countries. For the most part, you know, if you ever have reason to go into Midtown Manhattan, and you're going to one of these large office buildings where you see black people and white people are all working together and so forth for 8 hours a day, and then you take at the end of the day they go down to the trains.
Exactly.
And you look at what happens there. Who takes which train? Who gets off at which stop? Okay? And you realize that these are people who are brought together during the course of a day for purposes of work, and they go to their separate lives, their separate homes, their separate communities, their separate districts, their separate interests at the end of the day, and they really have no meaningful contact outside of the paradigm of work.
Right. And I also believe, though, that institutionalized racism contributes, because even if blacks want to live in suburbia, there's the whole idea the real estate industry would often redline, or there's also the idea of what they'd call a neighborhood life cycle. And once, let's say, several number of minority families start to live in a white affluent area, then that area is categorized as a dying neighborhood. And then, of course, you'll have the more affluent people move out of that neighborhood, and then that suburb would kind of, you know, go down, and, of course, there'll be more minorities in it, and then, you know, another suburb is created. And there's a constant, I guess, move, or if you want to call it, like, I've heard it often called white flight, in the sense of some people leaving the urban context to go to a suburban enclave. But I truly think that, I don't know if integration is really the answer as far as neighborhood development or saving neighborhoods. I think that there has to be more of a community control and leadership amongst neighborhoods that are, say, they say are coming to the end of their life cycle because there are more minorities moving in, and that there really should be more of a policy to provide equal servicing, equal, I guess, sharing of tax bases, et cetera. I think that's more of the answer than saying that we need to address the idea of neighborhood segregation. I'm not sure. This is a topic that really interested me, and you were talking about it yesterday, so I wanted to give you a call. But.
Okay, and I do appreciate the call, because you've introduced a perspective not often discussed, and that is it really a more desirable state of affairs to have people living together in communities that are ethnically and racially diverse, or do you simply take note of the fact that people tend to live in communities that are predominantly occupied by individuals with whom they share a cultural or social or racial or historical relationship, and therefore you make sure that you provide in all communities across the board, regardless of who lives there, the same access to public services and the same quality in the delivery of those services. So I think it's a valid point that you raise, and one that certainly does warrant a further exploration.
Right. Well, I'm not against mixed communities. I don't want to sound like I'm like that, but I think that's a that's almost a utopian, with the current history of the United States, that's almost a utopian kind of attitude to say that, oh, well, we can all live together, and we call this when there's so many disparities and inequities amongst even the residential patterns, how schools are run, how housing's even done. I mean, I walk through Buffalo, and I'd walk in the inner city, and there'd be houses with plywood, and people would live in these houses. They're houses with plywood over the windows and stuff. And I went to some of the suburbs, and I was there for maybe 10 minutes before I was the cops came and asked me what I was doing there and told me to leave.
Well,
you know, it's very blatant in your face. Just what I wanted to point out.
Yeah, believe me, I understand what you're saying, and I hear you loud and clear. Thank you very much for the call.
All right.
Okay, great. This is WBAI. It's 99.5 FM in New York, where it is now 30 minutes after 4 o'clock. And let's move on at 212-209-2900 to your telephone calls on this Throwdown Thursday. Good afternoon. You are up next, and you're on. Hello. Hello? Good afternoon. You're up next. Okay, I guess not. I can't hear anyone. Could you hold a second, please? Let's see. Let's try another line here. Good afternoon, talk back. You're on the air. Hello.
This is what I'd like to say. I do believe that what you're trying to suggest is that the reason people do not know where the meeting is because it's trying to be kept from you. My understanding is that there's been several locations that they're not really sure about. And I think there is one right now, and I got it on the email today, but I don't have that in front of me. So I don't think it's really fair of you to put out information like that.
Okay, hold a second. Let me, for a moment while you were talking, I was dealing with something else. You're saying you don't believe it is fair for me to put out what information?
It's not just you, it's other people since yesterday morning.
That what?
Monday morning. It is not just you, it is everybody, many other people there, who are trying to claim that the reason they can't give you the information as to where the meeting is this weekend is because they don't want you to know it. I don't think that's true.
Okay, but did I say, but to whom are we speaking, by the way?
Mary Lane.
Okay, Mary Lane. Work with me here. Did you hear me say that, Mary?
Did I hear you say that?
Did you hear me say that the reason...
You had Marjorie on.
She likes
to push that all the time.
Okay, hold on. You're not talking to Marjorie, you're talking to Hugh. What did you understand me to say on the matter of this meeting? What did you understand me to be saying?
To be honest with you, I haven't been listening to you talking about that. I heard what she had to say. I heard you cut off Anthony Sloan, which I think is a shame. He's one of the few people that has been able to get on the air. Because the rest of you, you're coming up with so many lies, and it's very
okay.
Sad.
Hold a second, Mary. I'm going to ask you one more time. What did you understand? What you did not hear what I said? Am I correct?
No, I already said that.
Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you what I said, Mary. And I'd like you to pay very close attention to this. What I said was this: I do not know where any meeting will be held. I understand that a meeting of the Interim Board of Pacifica is scheduled for sometime this weekend. I do not know the location, nor do I know the times at which this meeting will be held. However, I said, if anyone wants to find that information, you should call our switchboard, because they, at the switchboard, are monitoring this and will be able to provide you with the latest information. I also indicated that should definitive information become available to me before the end of this program, that I will have that information made available to you. That's what I said. I'm in the process of doing so. Do you want me to make things up?
No.
What do you want me to do then?
I don't want anyone there to make things.
Okay, fine.
My feeling is that there is this great output. coming from most of the people who I'm hearing on this.
No. Mary, you're talking to you. Talk to me. Don't talk to me about anybody else. I will not be held responsible for anything that is said by anyone else on this radio station. You're talking to me. Talk to me about what you have heard me say.
That is fine. What you just told me is fine.
Does it make sense?
It makes sense.
And
you do tend to sound just like the other people that are working there. You seem to be coming, all of you seem to be coming out of the same programmed information with running down everybody else and putting yourself. Maybe you don't do this specifically, but other people.
So why are you telling me about the Mary?
I've got this opportunity to say something, and I'm very saddened by the fact that many listeners are being led up the wrong path.
Okay,
by a lot of lies.
Mary, I'm just going to say this one more time.
It's okay.
And not only, and I'm going to say this to you and to others, and that is, as the information becomes available, as soon as I have definitive information for you, it will be made available to you.
Thank
as a matter of fact, I am right now consulting with our general manager, Bob Daughtry, and I'm hoping that Mr. Daughtry will be available before the end of this program. He has indicated that he will make every effort to be, and as soon as he is available, whatever is the latest information that he has will be made available to you. Is that fair?
Very fair. And
thank you very much then, Mary.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Great. And by the way, here's the other thing. I've had a couple of people call here and identify themselves as being individuals I don't know. I have no way, and let me say this to our listeners. When you call me and you say this is, you know, Tony and T-Neck, I have no way of knowing if you are Tony or if you're in T-Neck. Therefore, I have to be extremely careful as producer and host of this program not to have you call here and say, this is Hugh Hamilton calling from wherever, and I simply assume on the basis of this assertion on your part that you are who you say you are and that the information that you're providing is in any way authoritative. Now, if you're calling here to express an opinion on an issue that is in the news or on a development that is in the news, then that is that's perfectly fine, because who you are does not matter. However, because it is not germane to the quality or delivery of your opinion. However, if you are going to call here and say, this is, you know, Hugh Hamilton calling from Manhattan and I have this information, at that point, I cannot simply take your word for it, because I will not allow anyone to abuse these airwaves by providing information that is either misleading or incomplete or that is intended to confuse the listener. And I will be joined, I am advised, by our general manager, Bob Daughtry, who is my authority here at this radio station and who is in charge of this radio station, WBAI, and upon whose authority I am prepared to go when he shares with us whatever information is the latest that is available in relation to this meeting that is supposed to be taking place this weekend. It is now 37 minutes after the hour, and this is Talk Back. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Good afternoon. You're up next, and you're on the air. Hello.
Hugh Hamilton.
Yes, this is he.
This is Bob Fass of WBIX.
Okay, now, Mr. Fass.
Now, I wonder
Mr. Fass, hold a second. Did you hear?
I commend you first.
Mr. Fass.
On your insistence on getting the latest up-to-date final information.
Mr. Fass, can you hold?
I think it's very brave of you to do that. It may be one of your final programs.
Mr. Fass, I'm going to have to turn you down, because apparently you were not listening to what I was saying. You call me here. You tell me this is Bob Fass. How am I supposed to know that? I don't know that you're Bob Fass. And therefore, if you're calling here to express an opinion on an issue, then that's perfectly fine. I don't know who you are. And we do not have, I think somebody adverted to the technology to be able to trace your call. And even if we did, I wouldn't tell you. And if we did, I would not choose to use it for this purpose anyway. So to say to me that you're calling and you're Bob Fass, that doesn't mean anything to me, because I don't know this to be true. Therefore, I'm going to move on. It is now 39 minutes after the hour. Good afternoon. This is Talk Back, and you're on the air. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, hey, Hugh, I love the show.
Thank you.
Just want to commend you also for, you know, putting up with those rats from the Pacifica campaign, you know, pranking.
Well, sir, by the same token, I will not entertain the characterization
of persons
with whom you happen to disagree in a manner that is pejorative or intended to be disrespectful.
I have to be fair here about an issue.
Okay, fine.
And I want to say that first of all, I love your show because I think that your show embodies the new direction of WBAI, and that is the iron-fisted rule of people like Bob Daughtry and the anti-democratic shows of Utrice Lead and Clayton Riley. I think that's really the direction that BAI needs to go in. You know, it's a step toward freedom. It's like when Duvalier declared himself president for life. That is the iron-fisted anti-democratic rule that we need at WBAI.
Okay, is that it?
Well, I mean, and I just want to say, keep up the good work. You know, enjoy your last couple shows, and, you know, we'll see you this weekend. Pacifica.org has the site. It has all the information about the board meeting. You know, you've been lying to your listeners all day long. Go to www.pacifica.org. You know, all you got to do is go to that website, and you can see that it's at the New York Hotel Trade Council, 305 West 44th Street, between 8th and 9th Avenue. The whole schedule is on pacifica.org. That's all you got to do. Hey, keep up the anti-democratic work. My hello to Utrice and Clayton and all the other, you know, reactionaries that are keeping BAI heading toward that iron-fisted dictatorial security system regime. Thanks a lot, Hugh.
No, don't go yet. Hello? Hello?
Yes. Hey,
oh, no. Please, say some more. I mean, while you've got it on your chest, say some more.
Well, I mean, you know, how's Toto Constant doing?
No, that's the question. No, say some more.
No, I'm asking you.
Have you exhausted what it is that you have to say?
You know, how's it going? I mean, this is, you know, the Coup Hamilton show is what people want to hear. You know, they don't want to hear, you know, anything that says democracy in it. Not like Democracy Now. No. That would be too much of a show to have on the air. No, let's continue with Coup Hamilton in the afternoon, and, you know, let's keep up with the anti-democracy in the morning. It's fantastic, you know.
Let me ask you one question. Okay, hold on.
Have fun with it.
Let me ask you one question. How long have you been on?
How long have I been on what?
Oh, yeah. How long have you been on for this call?
Well, I think I'm on. I've been on longer than Bob Fass or Anthony Sloan or Dennis Moynihan or any other listeners. I mean, this is actually unbelievable. This is probably the longest period of time anyone has had on WBAI to actually tell the truth since the coup happened last year. It's unbelievable.
Okay,
so
good.
It's like a one-man liberation of WBAI.
Well, guess what?
It's amazing.
Guess what? It is believable, and you've been on, and I want to thank you very much.
I love the surveillance cameras. I think it's a great way to spend the listeners' money. I want to credit Bob Daughtry with really keeping the iron-fisted regime going.
Okay, good. Bob Daughtry is going to be here shortly, as a matter of fact, in about 3 minutes or so, and I'm sure that he's listening. Thanks a lot. In another 3 minutes, I'm going to be joined by our general manager here, Bob Daughtry. Let's see who else is holding. And if you are holding for information on the meeting of the Pacifica Board that's supposed to take place this weekend, then the general manager of WBAI, Bob Daughtry, will be here with that information for you. Good afternoon. Talk back. You are up next. Hello.
Hello. Do you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, I just want to preface my comments by saying that I've been listening to WBAI for a relatively short time. I happened to bump into your radio station while looking for other things on the dial. But I do have a tremendous respect for you. I think you bring a tremendously good program to the public, and I want to thank you for that. My comment is concerning yesterday. You had on a let me just say who I am first. My name is David. I happen to be a religious Jew, and I'm from Brooklyn. My comments about the guest you had on yesterday regarding Crown Heights.
Yes.
And it just disturbed me slightly that the inaccuracies that were said regarding the neighborhood, specifically the ones that when she said that the people in the neighborhood were practically thrown out, businesses or residents, due to the fact that they didn't keep the Sabbath or other religious observances. And as someone who lives in Crown Heights and lived there all my life, it's... I find it hard to listen to someone else say that without calling in to register, you know, at least a small complaint regarding that. I mean, it's as a religious Jew, I can tell you that we don't do that. It's not something which is people are not thrown out of neighborhoods strictly because they're not as religious as the next person. As a matter of fact, in the neighborhood still today, there are a number of stores on that very street that you mentioned that that are open 7 days a week, and it's up to the people if they want to patronize that store. And many, many religious Jews do go to that store and patronize them, regardless of what the religious beliefs of the owners of the stores are or their ethnic backgrounds. And it's, if I may, the history of Fern Heights is one that there were many affluent people that lived there, white or otherwise, and when the Lubavitchs actually began to move in, which is in the 40s and the early 50s, our number wasn't that great. And when the same time that Nicola mentioned earlier about the whites that flee the urban cities for the suburbs,
mm-hmm.
that's the same time that Crown Heights emptied itself of the affluent people that were there, and they practically picked up their bags and ran as fast as the others out of the city and out of the neighborhood that it was. And Crown Heights today is a very diverse neighborhood. It's a neighborhood which has in it white people as well as black people living, cohabitating side by side and living very peacefully.
Okay.
I personally lived through the riots of 91, and I may say that my neighbors who are of African American descent were equally as shocked as we were, and equally as dismayed, and kept on telling us over and over again that you should know that it's not people from in the neighborhood, but rather people out of the neighborhood who are coming into the neighborhood doing this.
Okay, David.
Yes.
David. Okay, fine. I've given you an opportunity to address that, but now I am out of time on this, because there is another issue that has arisen over the course of the program pertaining to a meeting of the Pacifica Board.
I wish you lots of luck and keep up the good work. I thank you
very much. And as promised, I am joined by the general manager here at WBAI, Mr. Bob Daughtry. We did have... Good afternoon, Mr. Daughtry.
Hugh, how you doing?
Well, that's a very good question.
You like you doing well?
Well, I would like to think so. Okay, we've had a couple of people call to say that they apparently were receiving conflicting information about the location of a Pacifica Board meeting. I'd like you to provide us, if you will, with the latest information that we have about
sure.
this meeting, and perhaps you've been listening to some of the comments you might want to address them.
Sure, it's been here, there and elsewhere, but finally something from Pacifica itself. It's the Hotel Workers Union, as one of the callers just said, as he was in the midst of editorializing, 305 West 44th Street between 8th and 9th Avenues. And we invite supporters, real supporters, not listeners with a bunch of skewed opinions, but supporters, because the listeners with skewed opinions will be there anyway. But we invite real supporters who are interested in what the station is doing, who are interested in supporting the station, and who want to see what all the fuss is about, to come down and be there to see for yourself and to hear what's going on. A good time to make it down on Saturday. The meeting actually starts tomorrow, I should say.
Uh-huh.
It begins tomorrow. The actual meeting itself begins at 7 o'clock. And it's scheduled
to go until 7 in the evening?
9 o'clock, 7 p.m. to
okay.
9 p.m. tomorrow evening, with a agenda review, board chair comments, interim executive director report, updates on the lawsuits and grievances, and the treasurer's report, which should be very interesting. And that is all scheduled to go until 9 p.m. And then on Saturday, it continues. The meetings continue beginning at 9 a.m. again. And the station reports from the managers will begin at approximately 9:45 in the morning. The WBAI portion is scheduled to come up around 10:45. So anywhere from 9, 10 o'clock on through the afternoon there will be a specific part on BAI that starts at 2 o'clock as well.
Is on Saturday?
This is on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
Saturday, which is the 12th of January. 2 o'clock, there's something scheduled called WBAI, and under that, public comment and board discussion. And the meeting continues for approximately half a day on Sunday from 9 until 3 o'clock with public comment early in the morning. It appears that there's public comment sprinkled throughout as well. There's public comment at 9:10 in the morning on Saturday. There's public comment right after the station reports from 11 to 12 on Saturday. And Again, I just mentioned public comment from 2 to 2:15. It says here in the schedule regarding BAI, and it goes all through the schedule here. So if it's anything like the last meeting, there might be more public comment, but we'll see.
So tell me this. Why is it that so many people are calling this afternoon to give me this much grief about this particular meeting? Why is it that important? What are the issues involved here?
Well, the issues involved are basically the issues of control of the station and control of the network. This fight has been about control of the network for the last 5 years. There aren't that many people calling, but they are centralized to here, and they are also bussing in people from around the country who feel the same way they do, because there are five Pacifica stations around the country. You know, words like democracy and censorship are being thrown around, but quite frankly, there's plenty of anti-democracy on the side of the people who are calling. It's just like the abortion rights people who will kill in the name of the right to life. They will go to the abortion clinics and kill people, and it is a very similar kind of deal you have here. These people talk about freedom of speech. They talk about censorship and a so-called gag rule, and if you stand up in a meeting and you say something contrary to their view, if you speak up, they shout you down. They did this in Washington, and they're prepared to do it here.
But, you know,
And these are listeners. These aren't the supporters. These aren't the people who support the station. You know, there's nothing wrong with disagreeing with what we're about. You know, that's a part of what we do. That's a part of the communication process. But these are people who are hell-bent on one thing, my way or the highway. There's no democracy here.
Do you know, one of the things I found ironic is that even though I have been, some of the callers this afternoon, for example, some of whom identify themselves, and I don't know if these are actually those individuals, which is why I discontinued that particular line of discussion this afternoon, because anyone can call and say, this is Bob Daughtry. And if the person's got a deep enough voice, how do I know that it's not Bob Daughtry? The next thing I know is that this person is making statements in your name, and I'm being sued, and Pacifica's being sued for statements purportedly made in your name.
Right.
But what we have tried to do is to give people a reasonable opportunity to express themselves. Now, what do we expect to emerge from this meeting? What does WBAI expect to emerge? What is BAI hoping will occur here?
Well, I can tell you that what the staff is hoping will occur is that all of this is over, put behind us, and that the staff, speaking about the staff itself now and taking me out of it, but from all of my discussions with the various staff members, they would like to be able to get on with their work, get on with making WBAI work. They'd like to see it whole again, and they'd like to see it healed. Now, those who are on the other side are not interested in that. The chairman of the board, in fact, said to me, well, I think that the so-called band and fire should be able to just walk back in and take right over. Well, what about the people who are here, who replaced them, who had nothing to do with their leaving, but who were needed to replace the fact that there were people over a period of time who left, who have not themselves done anything wrong? Now, perhaps you might, in your way of thinking, blame the people who had them replaced, and that's a different issue altogether. Her response to me was, well, I think that's honest. That would be the way to go. I said, well, what about the people who were there? She had no answer for that. You know, it sounds like anarchy to me, but then there are a lot of anarchists on the other side as well. And we will, tomorrow, we will talk about this some more. We will open the phone lines, and so those of you who want to call and have at me, we'll have at it. We'll have a go. I'm ready to take you on. Let's talk about it. And let's talk about the real issues. If you want to rail and pee in the wind, well, then we'll cut you off, or at least I will. They don't cut people off here. But if you're not going to have an intelligent conversation with me, we won't have one. You can be mad. I don't mind you being mad. I don't mind you being angry. But when you get ignorant, you're gone. That's the way I play the radio game.
So one other thing. You're clearly going to be making a presentation of some kind at this meeting.
I'm scheduled to, yes.
When is that going to be?
Well, let's see. Let's look at the schedule here. WBAI manager, Daughtry, it says here, 10:45 Saturday morning.
10:45 on Saturday morning.
Right.
Will there be an opportunity for listeners to make a contribution to that discussion, to comment on anything that you might say or to comment on anything
I'm quite certain that the opportunity for listeners, and when I'm saying listeners now, I'm really thinking about the people who've been calling you today, you know, who want to talk about anti-democratic and iron fist, because this has all been set up for them. That's one of the reasons why we didn't know where the meeting was. They've been playing games with the meeting all week, trying to set it up in a particular place that was favorable to them. And by us not knowing, we couldn't tell the audience where it was. The audience I'm concerned about are the people who have pledged to this station, the people who have financially supported the station. There'll be an opportunity for you to get on the agenda and make your public comment, and we will see that that happens. That is our goal, to see that that happens. There will be an opportunity, yes.
Okay, so in closing, if I can have the address once again, because this is the most sought-after information this afternoon, the address of the
especially meeting. It's especially sought after for the people who support us and who tune in for good radio. The people who oppose us and who want to tear this down, they've known where the meeting was all along. All right, again, I need to stress that these people work with the people on the board. When we were in Washington at the meeting in outside of Washington, D.C., when the board chairman said we're going to adjourn and go into a private session, before the people on the full board all got together, there were five people sitting there who immediately went over and started caucusing with these busloads of people, these same people who are calling in the day. That's who they get their marching orders from, and that's what this is all about. For 5 years, they have talked about the board of directors being imperious, centralized, and dictatorial. Well, I have news for you. We're seeing the same thing from this new, supposedly democratized board. 305 West 44th Street, folks, the Hotel Workers Union, and that's between 8th and 9th Avenues. It all begins tomorrow at 7 p.m.
And that wraps things up for this afternoon's edition of the Thursday Throwdown, today's edition of the program Talkback. That was Bob Daughtry, the general manager here at WBAI, bringing us the latest, very latest information that is available, not only on the location, but also on the agenda of the meeting taking place this weekend of the Pacifica Board, and encouraging, of course, your participation as a listener and supporter of the station. On behalf of Mr. Bob Daughtry, our general manager, on behalf of Mr. Michael G. Haskins, who's been our audio engineer, I am Hugh Hamilton, thanking you very much once again for listening. We, of course, tomorrow, who's on at 3 o'clock? Tomorrow, Earl Caldwell is going to be here in this time slot at 3 o'clock tomorrow with the Caldwell Chronicles. And you and I, of course, will do this all over again come Monday at 3 o'clock, the good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.
WBAI needs your support. If you appreciate this radio station, please help keep it thriving. If you have access to the internet, you can show your support online 24 hours a day at www.wbai.org. If you listen, then please do your part to keep WBAI strong. WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. Radio for a changing world.
And you are tuned to 99.5 FM WBAI, listener-sponsored commercial-free community radio. It's 5 p.m. Coming up at 6 o'clock will be a report of the day's news with the WBAI news team right now. Stay tuned for...